You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! It's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's big league match with Southport from Sunday afternoon.
Hello, this is John Champion. You're listening to FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly, we'll be heading to Broadhurst Park to hear how FC United got on in their crucial league match with Southport from Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with award news, as FC United player-manager Tom Greaves was celebrating last week on receiving the accolade of Vanarama Player of the Month for December. On Friday evening, Tom spoke to Ben on FC Radio's Friday Night Shindig.
So welcome back to the show, Tom. And well, first things first, and it seems very bizarre to say this, but congratulations on your Player of the Month accolade. How does that feel?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, obviously didn't expect that at all. I've tipped him with a couple of goals, I suppose, against the big boys. But I'd never expected that in a million years. And to be honest, literally any one of our lads could have got that award. So yeah, I'm buzzing. I'm made up with it. But yeah, not any one of our lads could have got that this month.
Wait, I just said to you off air, what a weird season you're having. I mean, you know, from substitutes bench to going on loan to Ramsbottom, then to become player manager, interim player manager, then to go through December as permanent player manager, and then to win Player of the Month. It's what a weird season. I don't know how.
Yeah. It's sort of been a little bit surreal at the minute. I feel like I'm just living a dream. I'm just on cloud nine all the time. There's no wiping this smile off my face at the minute. It's been a really strange one, but this is the place I've wanted to be since I joined 5 years ago, and I was going to do anything to get myself back here once I'd been out on loan at Ramsbottom. I've got to say thanks to them for having me for the one game that it was. And then everything else that just followed was just, it's just nuts, yeah.
Absolutely. And we should say, you mentioned the 5 years there. Congratulations again. We've come up to your fifth year anniversary. Paul Hayworth dug out that stat. So well done again, I suppose, Tom. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, yeah. It's gone very quick, but I've literally enjoyed every minute, and fingers crossed I'll be here for another 5.
Absolutely. Right, so that's all the pats on the back that I've got for you this week, Tom. But there are some, another pat on the back. We've gone through dicey December, as Stato Paul called it. We're now entering, how can we call this? Jittery January, I suppose. Because actually, on paper, these fixtures coming up, you know, the likes of Southport, Kidderminster, Blyth, and Curzon Ashton, never an easy game, that one. It's still quite a tough month coming up.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, you can look at the fixture list from now till the end of the season, and you're not going to look at any game and think that's a bank of 3 points there. We're going to go hammer them. They're going to be tough games, and we know that we've got to approach them in the right way, and we've got to train right, and we've got to prepare for every game as if we are playing top of the league. So we'll be doing that. Obviously, we're feeling confident going into every game that we do now. We feel that we've taken points off the big boys, and if we can do that, we can take them off anyone. But we're not taking anything for granted. We've still got our feet firmly flat on the floor, and know that we're still in a relegation battle, because a couple of results going the other way could took us right back in there. So we're literally just taking a game at a time, and fingers crossed we can start with 3 points on Sunday.
And this Sunday it's Southport coming, and obviously there's three ex-FC players in that team, Lowe, Gilchrist and Spider now, John Worsnop, your compadre. What are you expecting from Southport this weekend?
They'll be coming to the game full of confidence as well. They've had two good results against Charlie, I think it was, over the Christmas period. So they seem to be out of their bad spell. Obviously, Kevin Davies has got bags of experience playing side of it and managing now as well. So they won't be coming for a point. They'll be coming for all three, so we know that we're going to have to be at the top of our game to get anything out of it, yeah?
Now then, let's talk about team news. Now, obviously, there's been big team news this past week. It was always going to happen. we obviously have played some of the more bigger clubs this past week when it comes to financial weight and muscle. And obviously, Tom Walker's impressed in the two games, in particular against Salford. And Salford have jumped in this past week. But we can't really stand in Tom Walker's way, can we? It's full-time football at the end of the day.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, I mean, I don't want people to think that we didn't want Tom to stay. We did. We spoke about a contract and turning down to the club, but he made it clear that he wanted to go back into full-time football, and you can't stand in people's way for that at all. Obviously, Salford's a great opportunity for him. They look like they could be playing in the conference, the national Premier next season. So, yeah, good luck to him. He's been superb since I took over. I can't fault the lad. He's got a great attitude. He's a superb player, and yeah, we wish him all the best.
And you've been involved in football for years, Tom. And we should say, you know, as a 22-year-old being offered full-time football, that's essentially the dream, isn't it, for any young
player? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, and I mean, you look at the games we've played against them. They could have handpicked anybody out of our team over the last two games, and I wouldn't have been surprised if they'd have come in for Joel Senior, Kieran Glynn, anybody. We was expecting something like that, to be honest, because we've played very well over the two games, and obviously Tommy Walker's not been on a contract. They've not had to pay a fee for him or anything like that, which is a bit disappointing on our part. But lads sometimes don't want to sign contracts, they don't want to be tied down, and that was the case here. So unfortunately that one's gone by now, but we've got plenty of replacements. We know that we've got a good quality squad, and we're not worried going into the game thinking it's going to be weakened by any stretch.
Hey, you named all them players there. You missed off the player of the month, you know. Anyway, right.
So. Yeah, I don't think anyone's coming in for me anytime soon.
Jono and Bernard need to have a long, hard look in the mirror. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, Tom, just before we go, just a squad update then with regards to fitness levels and who's looking likely to be in the squad coming into this match on Sunday against Southport.
Yeah, Joel Logan's just about fit. He'll probably be having a fitness test. And Danny Wisdom as well is looking likely to be involved again. He trained on Thursday night. We had a bit of a behind-closed-doors friendly against Paddy. They brought a side over and we played the lads that have not been playing much and lads that are on the fringes of the squad and the lads that are coming back from injury to give them some minutes as well. And he got through a half of that. So fingers crossed he'll be back because he could quite easily slot into Tommy Walker all there as well. So apart from that, we're all the same and good to go.
Well, Tom Greaves, player manager of FC United, big congratulations again just for everything, Tom, and thanks for coming on the show, and we'll hear from you again on Sunday. Thanks for coming on.
Top man, mate. Thanks a lot, mate. Cheers.
FC United player manager Tom Greaves there on FCUM Radio's Friday Night Shindig, and we'll be hearing how FC United got on in that Southport game from Sunday very shortly. In other news, and FC United's dedicated ball crew received some well-deserved attention on Saturday morning as they featured on this week's Match of the Day's Kickabout programme. You can watch the episode now on the BBC iPlayer, just search MOTD Kickabout. And finally, as well as the football on Sunday afternoon, FC United hosted its annual Big Coat Day collection at Broadhurst Park, where supporters donated coats, warm winter clothing, footwear and blankets for Manchester's homeless. Here's Ben with more.
So we're now joined by Vinnie Thompson. Hello, Vinnie, how's things?
Cold.
It is cold, isn't it? And so Big Coat Day today. Been going on now since 2005. And I've just been to the Green Cabin here, and there's loads of bags. What are we collecting today?
It's twofold. I've got clothes that are suitable for on the street. I'll keep people dry and keep them warm on the street. And then I've also had some wonderful other stuff that's suitable for kitting out. I'm kitting out a women's refuge.
Yeah.
When people flee domestic violence, they flee that morning with very little that they can take. So I've made another collection just for two refuges. And in future, I'm going to do a clothes bank and a food bank that can be an emergency stock for people who do find themselves in those situations at a moment's notice.
And this is the thing, I mean, we've been, obviously Big Coat Day has been going, as I said, since 2005. We obviously did the Christmas Day event here for the second year running, plus all the toy collection and the stuff for women's refuges. So it's all been happening in the last month or so, but it's something that you want to keep going all year round.
I've got ideas around a homeless FC, a life share FC United football side, where we can get people off the street, get them looking at ourselves, looking at... I've got a place that's going to lend me a kitchen where we can teach people on the street how to cook, not just at our place, but a massive professional kitchen. And then lots and lots of other stuff will be going on this year. But the Christmas Day was a mass success. We had almost 100 people in. We had the toy collection was great. Next year I want all your unwanted presents, so don't let anyone get away with anything I ever do. So next year, when someone gives you something that's no good to you, give it to me and I'll find a home for it.
And why is this important for FC United? Obviously we're set up as a community club, but now it feels like, you know, it's, you only have to go around City Centre Manchester to realise that things are a lot worse than they were in 2005. So how important is this this contribution that the club's making?
Well, to give you a very easy example, I'm king of the blaggers, so I can get anything that we need. But that was in 2005, and the economy and this world we live in was in a different place. So now the grants aren't about, the other bits of government dripping down money isn't there. So these initiatives, from the goodwill and generosity of some beautiful Mancunians out there and beyond Mancunia.
South Fordians too.
We'll give you some of that. And they're it's just fantastic, and it's at a greater need now. One time, if on my route to work, I'd see maybe 5 or 6 homeless people. I bet I see 20 just from Piccadilly Station to Lever Street. So, you know, it's obviously a big need, and people have been fantastic, and I just want to thank everyone.
Well, Vinny, thanks for all the excellent work you've been doing over the festive period, and you keep up the good work.
Thanks, Ben, and thanks everyone out there, and 3 points today will do.
And a big, big thank you to all supporters and volunteers who contributed to this year's Big Coat Day collection. To matters on the pitch now, and very shortly we'll be hearing how FC United fared in their league outing on Sunday afternoon. But with FC United playing a day later than the rest of the league, it's probably a good time now to hand over to Marv Willis for an earlier edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Well, thank you, Cockers, and hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, FC United head into Sunday's match with Southport, knowing that a big enough win could see the Reds move up the table to the dizzy heights of 12th. Whoa! To Saturday's results now in the National League North, and the match of the day saw neighbours Stockport County and leader Salford City share a 2-2 draw in front of a crowd of over 5,000 at Edgeley Park. Salford's lead up at the top is now just 2 points, as second-placed Harrogate Town won 1-0 at another of the playoff contenders, Chorley. Brackley Town are 2 points further back in third, but have played a game more. They inflicted the second defeat in a week for second bottom Nuneaton Town. Spennymoor Town are 4 points behind Brackley in fourth after winning 2-1 at fellow top seven contenders Bradford Park Avenue at the Horsfall Stadium. Spennymoor's north-east rivals Blyth Spartans are fifth after a comfortable 4-0 Croft Park victory over third bottom Gainsborough Trinity. No such joy for the North East's other club in the division, Darlington, who were beaten 2-1 by 8th-placed York City. Kidderminster Harriers were held to a 1-1 draw at 15th-placed Leamington, while Boston United continued their revival with a 3-1 victory over Tamworth, who've now dropped to 11th. And lastly, it's sadly looking like an almost impossible task for North Ferriby United to stay up now, as their 3-0 home defeat to fellow strugglers Alfreton Town leaves them 18 points adrift of the safety mark. And that concludes this week's Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Farewell.
Thanks, Marv. So to Sunday's football now, where FC United hosted Southport in the league. And with FC United looking to make it 8 league games unbeaten at Broadhurst Park, it's over to FC Live now to set the scene.
Hello everybody, and welcome to FC Live. Myself is here, Swampy's
myself
here.
Myself is here. Well done, Ben.
James Quinn's here, Stato Paul is here, and Emily Maguire's here. Happy New Year.
Hello, Happy New Year.
So, off the back of 2 victories in 24 hours, 2 victories and the old netball.
Well, there you go. Congratulations, Emily. Well played.
Thank you.
It sounded so patronised. Well done, Emily. Well played. That didn't sound convincing at all, Ben. I was very disappointed with that.
So welcome, everyone, to Broadhurst Park.
You'll ignore it now.
And it's now time for team news.
team news. Team
So, is it ready yet?
No, it's the weather.
Paul, put the kettle on. Might be a while. Is it here? Take your gloves off for the pop. There we go.
There we go. Oh, brilliant.
So, team news for
that
this afternoon.
That was a good pop. It's popping well, isn't that?
Obviously, Walker is no longer with us.
Where's he gone?
He's gone to Salford.
Oh, goodness gracious, what is it? Is he going to be the work for the DF and be in charge
of
communications?
And Tom Walker, the left back. A big congratulations to Tom on the move. A full time contract, can't really turn your nose up at that. And he's deserved
it. He shows not
over the past couple of weeks' performances.
Well, I think Salford themselves are looking to strengthen, and they're seeing the quality of the player. And they've made a bold move. He started yesterday. He started on the right hand side, which was interesting, and then moved him on to the left hand side. He came off, midway through the second half in that 2-2 draw against Stockport County, and a huge crowd there yesterday, 5,129. Huge, impressive. And it just shows the standard and the quality of this division. I know the visitors Salford brought about 489, I think it was, so decent travelling support, but it just shows the quality that this division can possess.
Now obviously Logan is actually the first choice left wing back, but he's out injured and unfortunately he's failed his fitness test today, so he's not going to be back now till at least Blyth in a fortnight's time. So what FC United have decided to do, by the looks of it, is we're going to play Zach Corbett at left wing back and play Scotty Kay back in central defence alongside Fagbola and
Sam Baird,
because obviously Matty Hughes is out suspended for his final game suspended today. So
it is, yeah. And I mean, Fagbola has been doing well in defence. We know there's been frailties in the defence, but the same token, they are working as a unit. I thought Scott Kay had a very, very good game against Salford City in that holding role in the centre of defence. And Corbett, well, we've seen his prowess going down the left-hand side, the creator of a couple of goals, and he scored two in the last two. Against Salford City, the first one was an absolute screamer, and the other one was basically, as I said in commentary,
bobbins.
A bit bobbins, but it went in, and who cares? And that was, he was in the right place at the right time. So yeah, I think the blend at the back's going to be okay this afternoon, and around the rest of the pitch, it's
well, we've got Linfield in midfield alongside Irwin and Glynn. Linfield had a very good game on New Year's Day.
Superb. I mean, the whole team, they worked tremendously well. It was a game that the weather played its part. It was horrendous for both teams. More so to a degree Salford in the second half, because that wind was swirling all over the place. But FC United did really well. Irwin was outstanding, as you say. Craig Linfield. I looked back at the goal actually, and I didn't realise how it was actually in the area when I first commentated on it. It seemed it was about 25 yards out, but actually it was in the area. But he hit it superbly well. And I still can't see where they were saying it was a deflection, because
it did look like a deflection from where we were.
No, I mean, they've said it was a deflection, but I can't see it personally. I think it might have hit the foot of a player and then rocketed into the top corner, but it was a great finish, and it was a well-deserved point for FC, and they could have won it right at the end. But you know, we went away with that. Tom's very happy. You know, 9 points out of a possible 13 in the month of December / January was superb. And now, Emily, it's back to the nitty gritty. Today is a vitally important game. We've got to make sure that we continue winning ways.
Yeah, certainly do. I mean, confidence must be high within the squad, and it's something that Tom Greaves has managed to instill in them, that belief in themselves and how they play together. But today's a huge game, because as much as we've progressed up the table, it's still tight and there's not many points between us. And Southport will be turning up here today and hoping for a victory themselves.
Well, Southport themselves, a great result away at Chorley, winning by 3-0, and as the teams are led out now. Today's game, incidentally, is sponsored by Alliance North West. Today's and they're the match sponsors, Alliance North West, so good afternoon to them. And FC United, well, big game, as I say. Let me give you the team, so you're going to get myself and Emily, and then a little bit of James a little later on. In goal for FC United, it's Lloyd Allison. Number two, Joel Senior, who could have maybe got and won and secured 3 points the day, but great save from the goalkeeper. Number three, Zach Corbett. Number four, Captain Scott Kay. Number five, Sam Baird. Number six, Jordan Fagbola. Number seven, Kieran Glynn. Number eight, Steve Irwin. Number nine, Tom Greaves. Number 10, Conor McCarthy. Number 11, Craig Linfield. On the
Subs for receipt, number 12, Danny Winston. Number 14, Mike Jones. Number 15, Tyrrell Palmer. Number 16, Adam Gilchrist. And number 17, Jamal Crawford.
Oh, what are you doing, you? I do a very good impression of our announcer, don't I? FC United playing in red shorts, red shirts, white shorts and black stockings. And I'll hand you over to my colleague to the right-hand side to give you the Southport team with a few familiar names.
Okay, in goal for Southport, John Walsnut. Number 2, Clive Smith. Number 3, Colin Richards. Number 4, David Morgan. Number 5, Nathan Sheeran. Number 6, Billy Priestley. Number 7 is Nathan Lowe. Number 8, their captain, David Lynch. Number 9, Jason Gilchrist. Number 10 is Jack Sampson. Number 11 is Josh Hine. And on the bench for Southport, we have Bradley Jackson, Steve Howson, Adam Dawson, Mark Holstead and Jacques Pogamo.
That's a decent ball there, but not quite met though for McCarthy. And a late challenge from FC United, but they'll play continue. And here come FC United. Lovely ball to Greaves. Opportunity for Greaves. Yes! 1-0! And it was all Joel Younger, senior, there. He slipped a ball through, really. I thought the referee was going to pull it back for a free kick, because FC United and Manchester's Craig Linfield was strong in the challenge, and it was a late challenge, and the ball fell kindly for FC United senior. Senior took on the ball 25 yards out and slipped a lovely ball into the player of the month, and that player of the month happens to be our manager, and it was a lovely deft chip, and it was a goal 102
and the 50th goal conceded by Southport.
Well, there you go, but a lovely ball by senior there.
Lovely bit of play, perfectly weighted pass from senior onto a fantastic run, and you know Tom Greaves only needed to do one thing as the keeper's coming out. No one was going to bet against him. You can see Southport, they're not happy with things. They're all having some big discussions there in the back and with the goalkeeper. They've made a few errors before then, and they weren't tight enough to the players, but credit to FC, they've taken advantage of those, and like you say, Joel Senior with a fantastic ball through, and what a finish.
Referee looks at his watch and there will be no more time, and that is indeed a victory for FC United and Manchester, the scrappiest of the season so far, and 3 points in the bag in a game that FC United's manager and players definitely know they've been in. It's been a really tough task.
First home clean sheet in the league this season,
and that says everything really. It was a battling performance. The defensive duties were excellent from FC United and Manchester. It was a game really where FC took the lead early doors, and it unnerved them, it seemed. It's a rarity that FC go in front, and to manage the whole game without the visitors actually breaking that 1-0 was testament to the way they've played, and it's been a hard-fought game. And Emily, it's one of those games where you can take a lot out of it for your defensive prowess and duties.
You certainly can, because I mean it's one of the areas that you know comes under a lot of scrutiny quite a lot, you know, talking about how sometimes we're making defensive errors, we're making mistakes, we're conceding goals that we shouldn't, and today's a fantastic example of how they can work together as a unit, how they can work hard. It was scrappy, but they were able to match Southport because of the positions that they were getting themselves in and how they worked together as a unit right across the field. Defensively, they were strong and they kept Southport at bay.
They certainly did. It was a game played at a tempo that suited the visiting team more than FC United for some reason. FC didn't really have that pace and that step that they have done in the last four or five games, and maybe that's telling because of the amount of games that they've had and the quality of opposition. So you know, a game like today was here at Fortress Broadhurst Park is not to get beaten, and that's what
Absolutely.
They've done
exactly what they've done. You know, they played some sensible football at times and towards the end of the first half, you know, when Southport was starting to look like they were getting bright and coming into the game, they just kept possession and they kept composure and they played some sensible football rather than trying to force balls that weren't on and try and force a move that wasn't there, that sometimes can you know offer the opposition that opportunity to grasp a mistake. But I think that, like you say, the tempo of the game in the first half, I think FC should have controlled it a little bit more, especially going ahead. I think there was opportunities there for us to push higher up the field. We were defending quite deep in the first half and allowing Southport to come on. The second half was a completely different game to that first half. The pace was injected by Southport, and I think they came out and a lot there midfield, and especially we mentioned his name a few times there, number four, David Morgan. He really controlled things. He was creative. He was spreading the play, and it was him with a few really good shots from 25 yards out that tested Allinson a few times.
Well, you're right. I mean, Morgan in the first half was you could see the quality. Second half, he had a little bit more room, a little bit more pace injections, as I say, from Southport. And I mean, Kevin Davis will be bitterly disappointed this afternoon of not getting something out of the game. Because the reality is, if that had been the other way around, we would have said we deserved something out of it. There was lots of opportunities, some good saves from Allison, and some, you know, not last just defending from FC United, but some balls going and whipping across the penalty area that just weren't put in. And I suppose when you are in that situation in the division where they are at this moment in time, it's akin to like an FC performance maybe at the beginning of the season where you weren't quite getting the rub of the green. But I've got to say, I just looked at the overall performance from FC United and Manchester, and we can grind out results and play poorly, then, you know, it bodes well. I think we could have gone 12 depending on goal difference against Boston, but I think we're actually staying in the same position on the same points, but goal difference separates the two teams.
Yeah.
But a good shift, you know, the crowd here this afternoon has been just shy of 3,000. Many brethren from the EU and from Germany watching and enjoying the game. So, you know, they've enjoyed themselves. We've enjoyed ourselves. It's a game of football that's at 1-0. It's always a tight affair. You're never quite sure whether or not you're going to finish with all 3 points. But the players, as they go in...
Fan Ming's been in touch. Welcome to one more cup of coffee, we should say. Fan Ming's been in touch to say, is Allinson the man of the match? Now, you're going with... I could tell you're going to go with Baird, but Senior had a good game and he's the sponsor's man of the match. But Allinson keeps putting in some belting performances and some proper good saves.
He's pulled off some fantastic saves. That second half in particular, some of the shots, especially the one that took a big deflection. He'd already dived to save the initial shot and managed to scramble over. He held on to the ball rather than a lot of goalkeepers would spill the ball on a lot of the shots that he was making a save. But the difference in that for me is, you know, Sam Baird is somebody that's not played well. He's positioned him throughout, you know, both the first half, everything that he was doing as well in the second was also fantastic. I mean, it's a close call between the two of them for me, but I'd offer it to Sam Baird.
Yeah, I think Allison himself would say that's a bread and butter game for him. You know, that's what he expects of himself. He's got great quality and he made some very good saves, and he worked hard as a goalkeeper should do, and he made two or three very good saves. I just think the fact that, as you say, Baird has not played for what, 5-6 games, and
you would have thought that he was a regular.
Yeah,
the way that he played today, he
marshalled everything well. He got into positions that nullified their attack on many occasions. He saw the danger. He cleared his lines when he needed to. Yeah, Senior had a very, very good game. And, you know, Senior's been man of the match on a couple of occasions this season. I just think from an FC perspective, the Baird to come back into the game. Don't forget, he's only still 19 years of age. And he marshalled it well. You know, Gilchrist was very, very quiet in the game, wasn't he? They marshalled it all well, really. I think Ben wants a different voice for man of the match, really. But Allinson did excellently well.
He was fantastic, and all of the defenders, you know, Fagbola had a good game, and Zach Corbett going up and down that left flank, he looked really strong going forward. But Sam Baird for me, he did the sensible things. He did everything right.
Well, we've been invaded once again. The Germans are here, and there's 300 or 400 have been here this afternoon enjoying the delights of FC United of Manchester. They've drank the bar dry, they've eaten everything we've got, and, you know, they should have been playing, they would have been playing Fleetwood yesterday and Bolton today, and instead they went to Wrexham and they came here. And they've been in good voice. There's probably been about, I would suggest, about 200, maybe 300 of them.
And German fans or Austrian fans?
Forget. German.
And which club? Magdeburg, was it?
Magdeburg from the third division of the Bundesliga, or the third division within the German tier. I've got a text coming from for Mrs. Greaves. And when Mrs. Greaves texts, we all have to sit down and take heed for it. Let me read it for you. Good result. I know what you're saying about too many games, but aren't Southport a full-time team? Maybe FC are tired and working all week as well as playing Spag Bowl, a great game. Just put Spag Bowler.
Spag Bowler.
That's a great. I like that. I like Spag Bowl. That's a great nickname for him. No, you're right. you're right. They're playing against a full-time team, and I think our last four games slightly show today. We were a little bit leggy, but when we needed to work, when we need to get into the right places, we did exactly that.
Mentally, throughout the game, the FC players were on it. They were, you know, you could see that how much they want to play and how much they it means to them now as well, and that does it, and it will make a difference in a lot of the games. When you have a scrappy game, it's you can always dig a little bit deeper because you've got that drive.
We've had a piece of correspondence in on Facebook, Chris Harvey. One thing you can't buy is team spirit, and that gets you over the line even when you're not playing
well. Can actually, it's available on CD, DVD. It was a great album from the 90s, wasn't it?
It only smelt that way.
Okay, smell that team spirit. Yes, okay.
What did we do for Man of the Match? Have we done it yet?
Well, we were discussing it. We'd like to have your thoughts. We've already had our thoughts. So, James, let's see if we correspond.
I wondered about Allinson, actually.
No, he's been talking to other people, hasn't
no,
he?
No, I'm not. No, my own man told me. I resent that remark.
Do you?
I'd be a sheep.
Impressed with the youngster that came on and nearly scored in his debut. Would have been the quickest debut goal ever. Jamel with that header and a great save by Spider.
Great pace. The new lad, the young lad. Really, you see, he's a great player to have coming on last 20 minutes when the defenders are tiring.
Indeed, yeah, and he's out at the moment doing a warm down with Gilchrist and with Terrell. So, I mean, the youngsters within the squad are doing very, very well. And the senior players, I mean, overall, the game itself, it's 3 points, and we can't forget that fact. It was a hard-fought 3 points against a team who really are going back to Southport, probably disappointed they haven't got something out of it. And I could understand that, but listen, you take your chances, you work hard in the game, and the one thing is, I mean, we gifted them a little bit too much Ruben time in the for large parts of the game. But as you rightly say, as people say, they're a full-time team, we're a part-time team. It's the Christmas period's come and gone, but we've had lots of games thick and fast within that. You're back at work, you know, you get an extra day to recover because we play on a Sunday. But sometimes I think it's not necessarily the physicality. I think mentally we were at the game, physically to a degree. Some players might be feeling a little bit because the young kids, a lot of these are young lads, and they've having to work against, you know, some good quality players, and the likes of David Morgan for Southport, who was excellent in both the first and the second half. The balls he was playing were giving and stretching us, so you're having to work even harder.
So a question which you may have been discussing, so Hughes is available for next game,
yes,
so do you think, well, this is the question what we would do and the question what we think the management will do. Do you keep Scott Kay in a three and does Baird go back to the bench, or do you push Scott Kay forward, keep Baird in and Hughes slots in, or does Hughes have to fight for his place back?
I think anyone, although Hughes has had some good games in the last three or four, he's done well. He's calmed down in regards to yellow cards, and then unfortunately that one he's had gets him out of the team. I think it's a very, very difficult one because Kay at the back brings a little bit of stability, but I believe Baird can slot into that role and do that role. But then you put Kay in the middle, and for me that slows the game down because he holds the ball well and he moves it on well. But I think the pace of FC, and again, certainly it will all depend upon Blyth, because we're playing against a team that have got a very good group of front players. You know, players that can score goals, tall, strong, and very, very good quality. So I think they'll look at that and they'll try and pick the right players in them positions to match Blyth, because we've got those two games in 4 days, and the two very long journeys. So Baird, I think on that performance, it'd be very hard to drop him. And you'd never take a shirt off from a player that's done well. And you say to those, you know, that player, look, you've done well. I know you've been out through suspension, but we can't give you the shirt back yet. You're going to have to win your shirt back, and that's the way to do it, I think.
And if you push Kay forward, Who comes out then of the front six then? Who would?
Well, these are the dilemmas that we've got, aren't we?
I'm trying to think who the, because you've got obviously you've got the Greaves and McCarthy up front. You've got Linfield, Glynn, Irwin, and who am I forgetting?
Well, the only one you might sacrifice, and if you're the manager of the club, you might have to sacrifice yourself.
Okay.
Opposed to anybody else, really.
But that would change the formation, wouldn't it? Because who would, unless you put Linfield up top, then with McCarthy.
Well, you're looking at a situation where you want to bring Kay into the middle of the park. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you go have a 3-5-1?
Mm-hmm.
That's not right, is it? You can't have a 3-5-1, can you? You could underplay the 10 men.
I said front six, and I meant front five, of course, because there's the two fullbacks. So.
Well, the one thing is we don't know the severity of the injury to.
McCarthy.
So mm-hmm. that might again play in. Tom will probably come up and he won't give too much away about, you know, the formation of the team he's going to play against those. But dilemmas are there because Kay's done well in the last two games he's come back in, and he came straight back into the team. Don't forget we've got Joel Logan yet, mm-hmm. Who naturally will be out on the left hand side.
Yes.
So when are you going to play Corbett? So these are the things that they do. And I think we've still got 19 games to go of the season. And I think what you've got to do is got to make sure you play the right team.
Against the right opposition.
That's not to say that this team can't just, you know, go and play against any opposition, but I think sometimes you need to make sure that you can match the opposition. And we know Blyth is going to be a tough ask, and then we know Kidderminster on the Tuesday. Again, another full-time team who are in the top six as well. You know, it's going to be very, very tough. I mean, we've played all the top teams within a month and, 15 days primarily, and we've done well.
Would you... And forgive me, Emily. I'll ask Emily because Swampy doesn't like being treated as the expert. Or Swampy, you can answer this as well, even though he is.
He's become the panelist host. He's like hosting the show.
I'm Jim. Think of me as Jim Rosenthal. That has been some great action this afternoon, right? But would you ever play a back four, or do you think this three at the back now is just it's worked now for the last couple of months? It seems to be now in the DNA of this team.
Well, we've. Already played in under Tom's guidance. We've played a back four against Marine, and we were duly dispatched and knocked out of the FA Trophy. I think Tom likes the fact that we can play an expansive game with a 3-5-2. The both wing backs have the competence to go forward and come back and work really, really hard. But there's no reason to suggest in a certain game that you're not going to change your tact and go to a 4-4-2 at some stage. I think
it's important for managers to have that open mind.
I agree with that generally, but I'm thinking of this team. Yeah, it seems to me that 3-5-2 seems to seems to work particularly well for this team.
That'll come from what they're doing on the training ground. Yeah. Whether they train more with that sort of a formation, and then if something was to happen, if we talk about the selection problems, that's a great problem to have for people
to say,
you know, we've got these players that can come back in, but we've also got players that have obviously proved themselves and they're playing for that shirt.
Yeah.
And it'll depend on what happens. Off the field, as well as on the field, as to who plays where and which players you're going to select ahead of others.
But more importantly, just let me just interject here. I've just been told some breaking news from Alan Hargreaves that apparently they sell hot Vimto at the New Den at Millwall. It's a little known fact, he says, but that's what they do.
Right.
So
okay.
There you go. Back into it.
So
I've got to keep the.
Thanks,
the
Alan. And happy New Year, Alan and Stephanie. So yeah, I mean, would you What is best 11 then?
You've got to go on your current form. You've always got to look at current form and not think, well, this player has played well or this formation has worked well before. And currently, the formation that we've got is the strongest formation because we're getting the most success from it.
More speculative, entertaining questions. If Logan is fit and obviously gets back fully match fit, does he come in for, say, Linfield? I mean, that would be the... Because Linfield goes all over the place. Very different player, but it depends on what you want to do. Do you double up? You have, say, Zach Cover. Zach Cover, by the way, impressed me in the way he slotted in to that left-back. I don't know what you guys felt.
I felt he did really well, especially in the attacking phase moving forward in that
left-back. So is Logan... He was looking really good until, obviously, he picked up... that injury.
Well, he was that good. We talked earlier on, Walker would have been in the team or playing in that position, because Logan himself, that was really became his position. I think it's very, very difficult to take a player out of a team that's winning and working well. I think Logan will have to be eased back into the team opposed to being just thrown in there, depending upon whether if there's any other injuries. I don't think it's fair to take a player out that's doing well, even though they might not be playing necessarily in their recognised position, because they are working. And let's not forget the likes of Corbett, who's not playing in his recognised position, but he's got a left foot, and that balance in the back with the left foot, which Logan obviously has as well, is instrumental in the balance and the way you play. But he's also scored two vitally important goals in the last two games, the equaliser against Salford and the equaliser here. And his work rate's been excellent. His defensive duties haven't gone amiss, but what he does, he has created, because when he opens them legs, he strides down the left-hand side, and we've seen it in two or three games now. So I think Tom will look at the team and say, you know, we can go to Blyth, and we can maybe utilise the same team depending upon injuries. But winning teams, you very seldom change them, do you? Yeah. You know, the spirit amongst them all, though, I mean, they recognise themselves as players that no one has a divine right to start the game, but at the same token, those that are in at the moment that are playing well, for me, possibly should carry on. Yeah. You know, I mean, we wouldn't have been saying this with the likes of Conor McCarthy a month ago, but over the Christmas period, he's actually shown what he's about. He could have maybe had a couple today, really, we have seen him scoring goals. He's popped up the back post. He's done well. Linfield, as you say, I think Linfield would say, bloody hell, give me a break, will you, please? Himself, he said he's the elder statesman of the team now, really, yeah. him and Tom. And so you could maybe say, look, I'm going to play you that game only because of what you can rest your legs, and I'm going to play you in that game. And so the players know themselves.
Thank you to Swamper.
You're very welcome, Ben.
Thank you to James.
Thank you.
You're going now for a while, aren't you?
I'll be at Kidderminster. I can do Kidderminster.
So we'll be back in a fortnight's time for FC United away at Blyth Spartans.
We are, yes.
We've also got Women's Team Live, though, next Sunday, West Didsbury against FC. We'll be covering that, because otherwise we won't have anything for This Club Is My Club.
Indeed we won't.
Hope, fingers crossed, the weather's going to be alright for next weekend. But that's it. Thank you to Emily, thank you to Steve Wood, and thank you to Stato Ball and all our guests this evening. But it's finished here, and time for a wrap up. Swampy, go.
Yeah, indeed. All it remains us to say is a hard fought game here at Broadhurst Park this afternoon. FC United taking on the might and the financial power of Southport. Some good football on the show in parts. In reality, the game was a little bit scrappy. FC United had to huff and puff through the game. The work rate was there. The endeavour was there. A little bit too much time and room afforded to the visiting team. And Kevin Davis will be very disappointed this evening that it hasn't gone away with at least a point. But FC United, we've talked about the defensive duties, the way we've played. We've talked to the two man of the matches this afternoon. There was another three or four players that had very good games this afternoon, but it's a team game. Everyone worked really, really well. A Tom Greaves goal separates the two teams. FC United a joint 12th now with Boston on goal difference, so a big game to come away at Blyth, and then Kidderminster a few days later. But it's all happening on the pitch, it's all happening in the training ground. It's nice to hear that the goalkeepers are working with the defensive players, and so on and so forth. There'll be an influx of help there from also Dave Chadwick within defence as well. And FC United today, well, the first clean sheet at home this season, and that is a tall order, considering we score, what, within 6 minutes, and the rest of the game is played a decent standard. But until next time, ladies and gentlemen, everybody, it's all the very, very best. So you take care of yourself. Good afternoon to you, James.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Ben. And good afternoon, good evening, good morning, and good night to everybody else out there in radio and YouTube land.
FC Live there from Sunday afternoon. Here are the post-match views now of FC United player manager Tom Greaves.
Mr. Greaves.
Hello.
Your mother's been very impressed. She's already got in contact and told us her thoughts on the game.
Yeah.
A hard-fought game, a very different game to pretty any game we've played in the last four or five weeks. Talk us through the approach and your overall thoughts of today's performance.
The approach is exactly the same as what we've been doing. Playing the 3-5-2, obviously, we've tried to get in the Reds to defend first, and then we can go on a counter-attack. Thought we did that at parts. It was a good solid performance. 6 weeks ago we wouldn't have won that game. It's an ugly performance and an ugly game that we've not been good at winning over recent weeks, and I'm probably as pleased with that as I am the Salford and the Harrogate, the Bracklin, Spennymoor games, because they are the types of games that we would have lost.
A first 45 minutes where we've looked at the sort of like the cut and thrust of the way FC have played over the last four or five games, the pace, the tenacity and the sheer exuberance all over the pitch. A very different first 45 minutes this afternoon, where the game was in parts, actually, you know, from here especially, it amplifies it slightly more, where it was quite pedestrian. Did you feel that we were, to a certain degree, allowing Southport to play at their own pace in that first 45, or were you happy with the overall way? I mean, we get the great early goal, great finish by you, a lovely ball by Joel, Joel Senior. But did you feel that you were getting the pace of the game in the way you wanted it?
Yeah, we tried to set up, like myself and Connor, we tried to cut the fullbacks out and do that. I found myself quite deep in the first half because it was a bit of an overload. It is difficult when you set up like that, because you're kind of saying to them, come on, what have you got? And then we're countering and attacking. So I don't think it's the best performance we've ever had. But the points at the minute are the most important thing, and I'm very, very happy with the lads to come away with them today.
Well, there's no question that the endeavour, the work rate, the sheer determination was there. We were just talking earlier on saying perhaps we had so many games coming thick and fast, mentally strong, but maybe some of the players physically a little bit tired, because basically of the amount of games we had, and let's not forget we played against a full-time team here this afternoon.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and then I'm no different to that. My legs were very heavy today, and that's why I've come off early on. As I've been coming off, Connor's hamstrings got tight as well. So yeah, that's where the confusion's coming.
It didn't confuse the radio team at all. Everybody around us.
I thought it was that thing of Tom saying, "You're not taking me off."
I was asking to come off for about 10 minutes. I was getting very heavy, and it is a heavy pitch today. But yeah, we have played a lot of games over Christmas. So yeah, if we need to make changes, we will. But we've got a little bit of a break now. Obviously, no game next week. So if we maybe do something a little bit lighter, we will be training Tuesday and Thursday still, because we want to keep the momentum going. We're doing well. We're picking up points, and long may it continue.
Do you have a? You may not want to share it with us, of course, but Zach seemed to adapt well to the left full back role this afternoon. But do you have a view of whether Sam would remain, or whether Scott and Scott go back into the midfield, or is that a dilemma that you'll work?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's good. It's good headaches. Sam's coming and done well today. I'm confident Zach can do that role all day long. He's very good going forward, and he's got back quick as well. He's fast. He's deceivingly quick, and I thought it was great today. But yeah, obviously Hughes is back next game. He's been doing very well, so it gives us a good headache.
Yeah. What about the young lad who came on Crawford at the end? Almost put one in for you.
Yeah, he did. What a great save! He's somebody that will excite the fans. This formation is a little bit difficult for him at the minute. He's more of a wide player, more of a winger, but he's come on there, and the first job we told him to do was track the fullbacks and don't let them out, and he's done very well. And then obviously going forward, I thought him and Gilly did really well when they come on, both of them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, second half, obviously we're 1-0 up in the first half, and we've not necessarily rode our luck in the first half, but so when you consider the game, I think we had 8 corners and they had 10.
Yep.
I mean, it's a game of to-ing and fro-ing.
Yep.
But in the second half, they came out, they had a bit more impetus, a little bit more pace about them. We were talking about David Morgan in the centre midfield, who we thought was absolutely excellent in the second half of them. But they worked us in that second half, and we were a lot to be thankful for, with some great saves from Alisson this afternoon.
Yeah, it was,
and also some, I mean, as a unit we defended brilliantly all through the afternoon.
Yeah.
Let's just talk us about, I mean, you're a player that's been around and played a long time now, but when you're a young lad, as young as the likes of Sam Baird, who's obviously, you know, signed a new contract with the club to stay here to 2018-19.
Yeah.
And he's not been in the team, figuring in the team for the four or five games. He'd be disappointed with that. But to performance in like that,
yep.
What is it about a player like that? We've seen it with Glyn,
yep.
We've seen it with Baird, and we've seen it with Senior. What is it the youngsters can do that make it the game so much easier than it should be, really?
Their attitudes are absolutely spot on, and as long as I keep telling them that they're not far away from the team, they're happy with that. They want me to speak to them. Sam's unlucky, he's not been playing. He had a couple of probably below par games against Gainsborough and Marine, and since then we've been different class and we've been doing really well. So for me, at the minute, if you're playing well, you'll keep your shirt, and if that's nobody's guaranteed a spot. If they're not playing well, then they come out of the team. If they're playing well, then they keep the shirt. It's as simple as that for me.
It's just like our commentary team, Tom.
Yeah.
Oh dearie me, that's
no, but they're all great lads. They've got that little click between them all, and they're starting to come out of the shells a little bit now. Yeah, they're all shy lads. You'll know that by speaking to them, but they're really starting to come now, and the team bonding now is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing you have, I suppose, is you have that dilemma where you've got such an abundance of youth. We said actually when you went off, and the average age was 14 by the time you got off the pitch this afternoon. But you got like Mike Jones, who we know who's come on, has changed game. Spennymoor particularly changed the game magnificently with those balls left and right. Yeah. Glynn himself. A squad, you were talking that you wanted to really strengthen. I think we might have another text of someone in a minute I'll read out for you. But you were talking about strength in depth, wanting to bring new players in. But this bunch are actually proving, myself included, I'm sure, the critics wrong, because the work on the training ground is proving absolutely to be instrumental, because there's players here now that 3 months ago just were not cutting the muscle at all. They look different players. It's all down to you and the management team in that training. It's so vitally important, I take it.
Yeah, no, the lads are putting some great sessions on. They all seem to be enjoying themselves. Like I said before, they're all good lads, and I don't want a squad of 25 people and you've got six players sat in the stands, because you're not going to keep people like that happy. They know if we've got, I don't know, 4-5 centre midfielders, they know they're not a million miles away from the side if they're not starting. Obviously they're going to be disappointed. They're not footballers if they're not. But I don't want to go sign and then upset a lot of people. We've got a good dressing room at the minute, and long may that continue. And if we can do that with the squad that we've got, there's like you say, Zach today has filled in at the left wing back role. We've got a lot of players that can fill in different roles. If we change shape, the likes of Linney can go wide right, Connor can go wide left. There's a lot of the players that we've got now can fill in other positions as well and be as strong as we are today.
And sparing your own modesty, you know, you've been putting the goals in. So management hasn't affected you in that way.
No, do you know what? Jack and Tom have been absolutely superb. I get a lot of credit for things when we win the games, but a lot of it's down to them boys as well. It's like Jack will do the team talks at half-time when he's seen it from the sidelines. We'll all chip in, the likes of Scott Kane and Husey, very vocal. It's great. It's a great place to be at the minute. We're all enjoying it. But I'll be honest with myself, if I lose a bit of form, and then I won't be playing, but as long as I'm justifying my own selection by hitting the back of the net, then I don't think people can complain too much.
Nice one.
Well, listen, two big games coming up, and two games really that you wouldn't want with the travelling involved in it. The Blythe game you can accept on a Saturday, because you know you're going to have to do that. Yep. It's the Tuesday game really. It's a big killer, that, isn't it? You know, it's a big tough ask for the two games so close together. So all we can do is wish that the squad stay fit, healthy. Yep. And you've got obviously those headaches of being able to choose the team that you think are going to be right for evening and right for the afternoon. So.
Yep.
Another 3 points.
Yep,
a different type of victory this afternoon. Yep. You take all those all day, and we wish you all the very best. And we'll have a beer a little later on.
FC United player manager Tom Greaves there, and that is it for FC United in competitive action for the next couple of weeks. The Reds return to league matters on Saturday the 20th of January with a tough away to the North East to take on Blythe Spartans. The address of the ground is Croft Park, Blythe, Northumberland, NE243JE. That's Croft Park, NE243JE. Kick-off on the 20th will be at 3 p.m. and we will of course have full coverage on www.fcumradio.co.uk. But you won't have to wait a fortnight for the next piece of FC Radio commentary, as this coming Sunday the FC United women's team will be returning to league action with an away trip to West Didsbury and Chorlton. The address for the ground is Brookburn Road, Chorlton, Manchester, M21 8FF. That's Brookburn Road, M21 8FF. Kick-off on Sunday will be at 2 p.m. and we will have full coverage available on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 12:30 on www.fcumradio.co.uk, and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and everyone at the club. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.